The basics of congregational song leading is the ministry session we're about to hear from Brother Les Wall. Brother Les Wall currently serves as the chairman of the music department at West Coast Baptist College. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010 hosted by Dr. Paul Chapel and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
Let's get started. I think everyone's here that's going to be coming. My name is Les Wall. I'm the chairman of the music department here at West Coast Baptist College. It's been our privilege to be here for the last 12 years, and it's just a blessing to see the Lord work here in this ministry and the college grow. And it's a blessing for me to see you folks that are here today. You've taken time out of your busy schedules to be here, and I appreciate that. I don't take it lightly that you're here, and I trust that I can give you some techniques that you're looking for when it comes to this area of song leading. Song leading is more than just getting up and waving your arms around. I've heard people say, if you can dribble a basketball, you can lead singing. Well, I was a little discouraged with that because I couldn't dribble a basketball that well. But it's more than just dribbling a basketball and waving your arms, and we're going to talk about that in this hour. It's going to be very practical. It's going to be very basic. I'm just going to cover the basic patterns, and I'm going to give you a little philosophy on song leading as well. But before we get started, let's have a word of prayer, then we'll begin. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this day that we have. I thank you for the wonderful message that we heard this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'll just continue to speak to our hearts and work in our lives. Lord, I pray that you'll just be with us during this hour. Lord, I know it's late in the afternoon, and I pray that you'll just help us stay awake, help us to have energy, help us to do our best today. And Lord, may some things that are said today be practical and beneficial to these folks, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can I ask another question first?
Sure.
What page are you on?
We are on 49.1.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles, please. Chapter 5, 2 Chronicles 5. And verse number 12. And what we're going to read about just for the next couple minutes is the dedication of the temple and the things that took place during the dedication of the temple. And we see in verse number 12, the Bible says, also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. This passage right here tells us the importance of a music ministry in our churches. It tells us how God feels about our music. And in verse number 13, we read, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one. Now that would be a pretty amazing feat to think of 120 trumpeters and several hundred, I'm sure, singers. But the Bible does say that there were 120 trumpeters. For those musicians to be as one, what would have needed to take place prior to that? Practice. And a lot of practice. Whether we are singing, whether we are preaching, whether we are leading music, whatever we are doing, we should practice. And our choirs should be developing from year to year. They should not be the same choir this year that they were last year. Someone has said, if you always do what you've always done, you will always be what you've always been. And when I heard that, that really convicted me, and it made me wanted to continue to learn and to continue to grow. And I appreciate every one of you that are in these sessions at this conference. You want that, or you wouldn't be here, and you wouldn't be trying to learn and trying to grow in these areas. And I believe that the Lord will reward you for that, and He will bless you for that. But look what happened when the trumpeters and singers were as one, so we know that they must have practiced for that to take place. And they were praising the Lord. And then at the bottom, or the last part of the 13th verse, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Now in those days, God would show His glory by a cloud. And when God saw them singing and playing their instruments, and they were as one, and they were praising Him, He was honored and glorified, and it says that even the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. The priests were going to minister after the music portion of this service, but they could not do so because God was so honored and glorified by the music portion of the service. And that encourages me as a music director and as a person who has given my life full time in the area of college work and in the area of music, just to know that our music programs can bring honor and glory to the Lord. And they are important. They're not second rate. They're not second class. They are important to God. Now here at West Coast, and I'm sure all of you believe in the primacy of preaching, we believe it as well. We believe that the preaching is the most important part of our services, but the music, I believe, is the second most important part because it can prepare the hearts of the people for the preaching of the Word of God. And so our music should be first class. And when we think about our song leading, it should be something that we pray over, that we plan, that we prepare, and it should be just as prepared as the preaching. None of our preachers will come to the podium or to the pulpits without preparing. And our song leading should not be unprepared. I can think of times that when I, as a young choir director, would just find songs like right before I would go up on the platform. And I didn't pray about them, I just picked them out. And we should pray over the songs that we choose for our congregational singing, our specials as well. If you're the music director, you should know what specials are going to be sung. People can choose their specials, but they should bring them to you, and you should know what specials will be sung in the church services. I'm not going to go into a lot of the thematic themes because we need to get right back into the song leading part because that's why you're here. But we should plan and we should practice our song leading. And that's what this class is about today. Letter A in your book, we must develop a love of song leading. Number one under that, spark the desire. I've heard people that have said, I'm just the music director because no one else could do it. And my pastor came to me one day, and I didn't want to do it, but someone, if you didn't want to do it, then don't do it. Because we should love what we're doing. And if we don't love it yet, let's pray that God will help us to love it. And if you don't want to do it, pray that God will change your desire and change the desire that you have if you don't want to do it, to do it and to lead the singing. That's totally foreign to me because my passion is music, and music is my life. Now, I didn't grow up playing the piano 6 hours a day. I played until I was like 11 years old, and my parents let me drop out because I wanted to. And now looking back at what the Lord has called me into with my life, I so wish I could play the piano. I can play very, very little of the piano, but I wish I wouldn't have dropped out. But I didn't grow up in music all of my life, but music around my junior year in high school just became very important to me. And 20, 25 years ago when I was in Bible college, I didn't know that you could be a full-time in the area of music. I thought you had to be music and youth or music and something else. And I didn't know you could be full-time in the area of music. And so I started out as a pastoral major. And the Lord just started to close some of those doors and open up the musical doors. And praise the Lord, here I am today. And the music in your church is important. And I'm trying to stress that our music is important and we should practice it. So spark the desire. If you don't have a desire to do it, just pray that the Lord will help you develop that desire. Number two, if a person does not have a desire to sing, there is usually a spiritual problem. Now, I'm not talking to you folks in here. I'm talking to you about maybe people that are in your congregation. I'm sure all of you in here have a desire to sing, or you wouldn't be in this session right now. But if we have some of our teenagers that don't have a desire to sing, then there's usually a spiritual problem, and we should work with them on that and help them at that. We have five children, and Angela and I, we sing together here at the church, and we've sung together all our lives, or all our married lives. But our oldest son, he's 21 now, and he went through a time about 12 years ago when we moved out here. He just kind of started to shut down. He was about 9 or 10 years old. And he just kind of started to shut down, and he wouldn't talk a lot. He wouldn't laugh a lot. And he was just going through some things. And at that time, he wouldn't sing either. And it broke our hearts because we wanted all our children to sing. And I remember a couple years into that, it was my birthday. And I went to him. I said his name. And I said, the only thing I want for my birthday is for you to sing happy birthday to me. And he wouldn't do it. And that broke my heart. And he went several years like that all the way through high school until the Lord got a hold of his heart. And now he's singing solos. And he sang a solo a couple weeks ago at our youth camp. But it was something that me as a parent, I didn't feel like I could have made him sing. I could have made him sing happy birthday to me. But that wouldn't have, I think that would have backfired. And I could have made him sing with us as a family, but that wouldn't have worked as well. But all you can do is pray and then let the Lord take care of it, and praise the Lord, the Lord did that. But if a person does not have a desire to sing, there is usually a spiritual problem. There must be singing that maintains a right spirit. There must be singing that maintains a right spirit. And our singing in our services should be happy, should be joyful. It should be really up to you, or I'm sorry, your pastor. It's up to you as a music director to figure out your pastor's heart and have music the way your pastor wants it to be had in your church. I've heard teaching, and I don't believe this teaching, but I've heard this, that the music director should take care of the music, the preacher should take care of the preaching, and never the twain should meet. And I do not believe that. I believe that the preacher is the music director, and the preacher is the pastor, and the preacher knows the direction that God is giving him for that church, for your church, and he knows what direction, and we should as I said, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but we should try to see the pastor's heart and follow his vision. The Bible says, whose faith follow? Letter C, there must be technique that is developed. And number one, this is very elementary, but the beginning is the best place to start. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to start at the beginning and talk about some of these just very basic patterns. Number two, develop leadership that accomplishes the goals of the pastor. That's how our music should be. It should accomplish the goals of the pastor. Now, our pastor here, before he preaches, he likes to have just a bombastic guy sing something like the gentleman sang last night. He likes a big, strong song right before he preaches with energy and with power. And that's what he likes. Now, some pastors may be different. I know that where we served as the music director for 10 years prior to coming here, that pastor, he liked our services on Sunday morning to be more worshipful, more when morning gilds the skies and praise him, and how great thou art, and songs like that. He liked songs like that, more worshipful. And it's up to you as the music director, and excuse me just a little bit, ladies, while I talk to the church music directors. It's up to you as the music director to figure out what your pastor wants and to follow that and to have the kinds of songs that he wants. I know that I've sung songs here that I thought were just going to, pastor was going to love, and he hated them. And he just said he didn't even have me sing them and sing it in the 11 o'clock service. That was the 8:30, and he didn't have me sing it at 11 o'clock. And I'm learning some things, and he's canceled not just me, but probably every one of the soloists. The soloists, he's canceled them because one didn't go with the message, or he just didn't feel it was right for that particular service. And then we as musicians, we need to just be flexible, and we need to just not carry it on our sleeves, but just be flexible and say, that's what my pastor wants, so that must be what is supposed to be done, and not get offended. Now, we as musicians can be a little melancholy sometimes, or we can be, I don't know, maybe sensitive to some things, but we need to just get over it, and we need to just do what our pastor wants us to do, and not analyze. We tend to be very analytical, and we analyze things. And why did he do that? What was wrong with this? And, you know, we can drive ourselves crazy doing those things. But let's just trust the Lord, and the Lord will help you, and the Lord will give you what you need in that situation. All right, enough of the philosophy for right now. Let's go right into the leading of the songs, because that is why you're here. And let's talk about the basic conducting techniques. Number one, know the time signatures and the feel. Know the time signatures and the feel. The upper number is how many beats per measure. And I tell my congregational song leading students, I tell them, if you don't know a whole lot about music, then that top number of that meter or that time signature is the main number that you need to know. You don't necessarily, I mean, it's very helpful, but you don't have to know how many beats this note gets or whatever. If you know a couple of these things, but you have to know that top number is how many beats per measure. The bottom number, letter B, tells us which note receives one beat. And so in the case of 4-4 that we're going to start out with, 4 beats per measure, the top number. And then the quarter note receives one beat. Now, I always use this as a trick question on my exams and tests. Is this a fraction, yes or no? Why is it not a fraction? Right. It's two different things. In a fraction,
the denominator divides into the numerator. The lower one divides into the upper one. It's two different entities. If this were a fraction, what would this be?
One.
Because this would divide into there, and you'd have one. So, it's not a fraction. It is a, they're different entities. And I'll sometimes say, the meter is a fraction, true or false. And I'll use that as a trick question. I usually tell them I'm going to do it before I do it. I'm not usually that tricky with them. But that's the meter. But the top number is the most important number. It tells you what pattern you're going to be using. Now, when I'm leading, I'll lead with the 4-4 pattern, the 3-4 pattern, the fast 6-8 pattern, the slow 6-8 pattern, the 2-4 pattern. And then when I get to the 9-8 and the 12-8, I just do like a slow 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So I'll get to that in a moment. But the first pattern, the 4-4 pattern that we want to talk about, looks like this. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, notice that I chop the downbeat and I come right back up. The downbeat is your most important beat in the measure because it gets you just started and it gets you back on track if you get off track. And so the downbeat is the most important part. One, two, three, four, down, in, out, up, down, in, out, up. Now, you want to imagine that you have a table here that's about your waist level, and you're going to chop that table on that downbeat. You're going to chop it, and you're going to come right back up. Now, over the years, in every one of my classes, it's without fail, I'll have students that they won't chop it. They can't get that chop down. Sometimes they'll do this. It's not a chop. I say, that's not a chop. That's not fast enough. They'll go, and I'm like, no, chop it. As if you had something on your hand and you're just trying to fling it off, trying to get it off. And so chop that down. Now, guys, this is the only way our wrist should move. Now, we don't want our wrist to move this way, but our wrist can move sideways. Now, ladies, you have more liberty and freedom. You can be as expressive and do all kinds of nice things like that with your fingers and out like that, but guys, we can't do that. And we just have to really be masculine in the way that we lead. Otherwise, we'll be distracting to people, and they won't get anything out of our singing. They will just see that our gestures look a little different. And so, I've seen people that have said, take your wrist, and I don't do this, but they'll say, take your wrist and come up like this and down like this. I don't lead like that, and I don't teach my male students to lead like that, because you can be expressive, but without doing some of those things. I can tell you some other ways to be expressive. So we want to 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, chop, 2, 3, 4. Let's practice that if you'd like to. If you'd like to stand with me. And we'll practice that 4-4 pattern. If you don't feel comfortable doing it, you don't need to, that's fine. Just remain seated, that'll be fine as well. But if you'd like to, let's do it together. Ready, go. 1, 2, 3, 4, chop. 2, 3, 4, chop. 2, 3, 4, chop. 2, 3, 4, chop. 2, 3, 4. Years I've spent in vanity, sing with me, pride. Caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Now, you can have a seat. Now I'm going to give you some other techniques
about leading the singing that are helpful to make you a song leader and not a time beater, okay? We want to do more than just be a time beater. Usually the person in most of our churches, and or I should say many, maybe not most, in many of our churches, the song leader is the lady that's right over here at the piano, because she is controlling the tempo. She's controlling when the song starts, when the song stops, how long holds are being given. She's controlling everything over here. I wish we had a piano in here that I could illustrate. They took it to the Spanish service out there. But, dun da 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 yeah. Sometimes they'll do something like that. They'll walk, kind of walk up. Dun, 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 years. Well, maybe the music director doesn't want to just go right into the tempo. And so I'm going to give you some techniques that you can use that's called the preparatory beat and the pickup beat that you can use in order to be the song leader and not the time beater. Now, the preparatory beat... Preparatory is what it's spelled like. The preparatory beat is the beat just before the singing begins. The pickup beat is the beat on which the singing begins if it is not a complete measure, and I'll explain that. The preparatory beat first. The preparatory beat is the beat just before the singing begins. In the song at Calvary, on what beat does the actual singing begin? The downbeat, or the one. And so if that begins there, so on what beat would the preparatory beat be? Be on the upbeat or the four. And so you do something like this. You play the introduction. Da 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 da. Then you do a double handed holding pattern. And then you years. The singing begins here. So the preparatory beat is the beat just before that. So you she should know, she should learn to wait for you before she comes in instead of doing that bum 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 walking up thing. And setting her own tempo, she or he should learn to follow you and watch for your preparatory beat. So when you're listening to the introduction, bum, 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 years, or sometimes you may want to do this, go right into it on tempo. Da, 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 year, you may want to be right on tempo. It depends on what you want to do in the particular song. But your preparatory beat will help you to be a song leader and not a time beater. Okay, so we talked about the preparatory beat, we talked about the downbeat, or the one. Now the pickup beat is the beat on which the singing begins if it's not a complete measure. For example, the song Stand Up for Jesus. Stand up, stand up. Stand Up for Jesus begins on the four instead of the one. So in the song Stand Up for Jesus, where should the preparatory beat be? It should be on the three. So you da 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 da. Stand up, stand up. So you do a stand up, and then they know right when to come in, and they're following you as the leader. And that's very crucial. That's very important to do. Now, another important thing is what I call the single-handed holding pattern. And I'm sorry, some of this is not in your notes, that we didn't have a whole lot of room to put everything we wanted to say, and so in that book. But the single-handed holding pattern is the act of holding one hand steady while continuing to conduct with the other hand.
And this takes a little bit of coordination to do this. And sometimes you'll see people that are just starting out, they'll be moving this hand as well. But the single-handed holding pattern is also important. I would never conduct over, or I would never just lead through anything higher than a half note. Like one, two, I'll hold it out. At Calvary, instead of at Calvary. When they're holding something out, you don't want to be leading through it, you want to be holding them out instead, and not just re. And so that's the single-handed holding pattern. That's something that is important. Trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way while we do His good will. So that way you need to have as a single-handed holding pattern, one, two, three, one, two, while we do. And I teach for congregational song leading, I teach the young people to do some cutoffs in their song leading, because that prepares them for choral conducting, where in choral conducting, you need to bring every part in, every entrance, and every cutoff. And so that just gets them prepared for that a little bit. Because cong song, as we call it, congregational song leading, is a prerequisite to choral conducting, where they learn to just lead choirs and to, as I said, bring in parts, cut off parts, have dynamics, have expression, and things like that. By the way, if you have a question, feel free to stop me, because I don't want to just keep going if I'm leaving someone behind. And there are no dumb questions, and so just feel free to stop me if you have any questions about anything that I'm saying. So we got the preparatory beat, the pickup beat, the 4-4 pattern, the single-handed holding pattern. Now the double-handed holding pattern is the act of raising both hands from the waist with palms up, at the last measure of the introduction or between the chorus and the next stanza. The act of raising your hands from the waist with palms up at the last measure of the introduction or between the chorus and the last stanza. Now, most of our introductions that our pianists will play are the last measure of the chorus. Da 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 da, or da 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 da, for Stand Up for Jesus. And so the last measure of the introduction would be, if I'm dealing with students that don't know what measures are, and I don't have a lot of time to, I may get to that in a moment if we have time. But I don't have a lot of time to explain a lot of this. But I'll just tell them, look at this last syllable and think of the words and bring your hands up on that last syllable. Da 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 re. In the fret. Years I spent in vanity and pride. Like that. And so just look for that last syllable and bring it up. Now, don't just raise it very quickly, too rapidly, because that just would look kind of awkward. And so just raise your hands. Da 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 da. Years I spent. And then do your prep, and then your downbeat. Or da 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 da. Stand up for Jesus. Like that. So that's your preparatory beat, your pickup beat, your single-handed holding pattern, your double-handed holding pattern. So let's talk about the 3-4 pattern. The 3-4 pattern, I think you have it in your notes, 2-3. It's just one less beat than the 4-4. So instead of going down, in, out, up, you go down, out, up, down, out, up, down, out, up, 1-2-3. And you want to chop it as well. Make sure that you chop that 3. And let's Let's stand together and do that one, please. Here we go. One, two, three. Down, out, up. Down, out, up. Down, out, up. Chop, two, three. Chop, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. Down, out, up. Down, out, up. Chop, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. Let's sing. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us.
One, two, three.
All who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Now, is that how we sing that song? No, what do? We slow down. So, the way you want to do that is you can do that double-handed holding pattern somewhere in the middle of the song. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Then and felt, you can have a seat and I'll explain some of this. As I'm sure all of you know, if you don't know, you're finding out today, there's a lot to psalm leading. It's not just getting up there and waving your arms if you do it the right way and if you do it with skill. You can do that double-handed holding pattern. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Now, where does but to, on what beat does that come in? Yes, the three, or the upbeat. And so when you're doing a double-handed holding pattern in the middle of a song, or even at between the chorus or at the beginning of the song, you need to think, where does the singing begin again? And then that's where your cutoff slash preparatory needs to be. So if the singing begins again at the three, then your cutoff slash preparatory is at the two. So you'll go, to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Now, this is the pattern that never ends. Have you ever heard the song that never ends?
Yeah.
This is the pattern that never ends. And the good part about that is you can jump out of a pattern or jump into a pattern at any beat. You never have to always start at the one. You can come in and out at any beat. And in this case, we're coming in on the three because we're doing that single-handed holding pattern. And then we're doing the cutoff slash preparatory. It's the same thing. It's a double. You're killing two birds with one stone. You're not having to go, to be happy in Jesus. Or wait, Jesus. But you can just do one motion and get it done, get it taken care of. To be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. And then if you were going to come back into the song, it would be, but to trust and obey. Then in fellow, do that cutoff slash preparatory on the three. Start singing on the four. Any questions on that? I know I'm giving you a lot. Maybe some of you already know this or know most of this, but I'm giving you a lot. So let's look at our notes. Roman numeral two. Know the standard conducting patterns for the above meters. And we've looked at the 4-4, and we've looked at the 3-4. But go down to the 2-4, please. and put an X through that middle one because it looks like a moon, a half moon. Because I used to teach that, but that was starting to confuse some of my students because that was the only meter that the downbeat was out here. I used to have, in fact, when I was in my undergrad, they said you could leave, he lives like this. I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know, they said, but I don't think we should leave it that way. But I used to teach that, and some of my students would have trouble with, I serve the downbeat being out here on 1 meter and down here on all the rest of the meters. So I just made it all uniform, and all my downbeats are on the one, and they're down like they should be. So you can do something like this for the 2-4. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Or you can, excuse me, or you can do something like this. But it's still a chop, but it's more of a triangle than a circle. So that'll be up to you what you want to do. But don't do this. Don't go, joy to the world. You don't want to do that. That's that looks different as well. It's kind of funny because even though we don't want them to do it, our students will, and many times, imitate us. How many of you have ever been mimicked by one of your students or something? Here at the college, they'll do skits, and one will be me, and one will be Dr. Rasmus, and fun, of course. But you don't want to do some things that get them to, that give them any ammunition, you know, of some crazy things that you do. So you want to be as proper as possible. Now, the 6-8, I was told in my undergrad that if you can just do a 6-8 in two groups of three. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If you have any musician that comes to your church, or any musician already in your church, to see you leading a 6-8 pattern like that with two downbeats will drive them crazy. And so you want to lead it the right way. You want to do your best, and you have it written there. I had the long, it took me about 8 years to learn how to draw this on the board, but I finally learned. And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And it's the downbeat, and then the 2. Now the 3 is more of a flipping over, and then the 4 is a backhand. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And the 4 comes straight back up. Your palm comes straight back up for the 6. So it would look something like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that's your 6-8 pattern. Now, as I said, I talk about the 9-8 and the 12-8. The 9-8, there are conducting patterns for this. And one of my favorite books when it comes to conducting is The Modern Conductor. And back in the 90s, when I was going through my master's program, the early 90s, I paid $56.50 for this book. For some reason, they had to destroy all the, if they kept them in stock, they'd have to pay taxes on them every year, so they print them sparingly or whatever. But it's a great book, but I think you can probably get it nowadays with the internet and everything in the bookstores, the used bookstores, you could probably get it. But it talks a lot about some more orchestral conducting patterns, and it's a, I enjoy it. I teach a lot from it. But it's called The Modern Conductor by Elizabeth Green. But you can do more with the 9-8, but there are patterns that have each beat has its own motion. But I like to do my 9-8s like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. A slow 3. And my 12-8s. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Just like the 4-4 pattern. For example, blessed assurance, Jesus. Jesus is mine. 4, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1. It's a more, it's a grander kind of a feeling, and kind of I'm allergic to these markers too. It's a grand, more of a grand kind of a pattern as well. So that would be your 9A would be like a slower 3-4, and your 12-8 would be a slower 4-4. Now we also have, lastly, we also have a fast 6-8, which is a 2-4, and it just looks like this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. And you can just leave like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then when you get to the end of it, you go to from the fast 6-8, which is that, to the slow 6-8, which is that. And it would look like, He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. And there are some double-handed holding patterns that come in between it and some cutoff slash preparatory, and I'll show you how I personally lead it. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. Then I'll just do three successive double-handed holy patterns. He lives within my heart. Then I go back to the two heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing like that. That's how I personally lead it. And it seems to work for me. And I teach my, that's one of the songs that my Kong Song students are required to lead in class, is that one, and to do all the proper techniques with it. Any questions on that? We're out of time, but let me just give you the last notes, the last blanks. Letter B, letter A, does the song begin on the pickup or the downbeat? Letter B, are there any surprises? Letter C, what is the best tempo? Tips for the conductor, practice before a mirror. Or video is even better. If you can have someone video you and you can see exactly what you're doing, exactly what you look like. Letter B, pray, plan, and prepare. C, always fully communicate with your accompanist or pianist in advance. D, enjoy song leading. And if they can see that you enjoy it, they will want to sing. But if they think you're in misery up there, they're not going to want to sing. And it's up to us to set that tone and to set the spirit of the service with our song leading. Thank you for your attention. Thanks for being here. If I can answer any questions for you, I'll be up here for a few minutes. You're dismissed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.